Welcome to episode 262 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. Guys, it is that exciting time of the year again where we go back and look at our 2025 predictions and then we make our 2026 predictions. I'm going to say straight out, I'm not looking forward to this episode because I don't think I had a very good year, but more of that later. I think it'll do me last. Marty, Nick, how are you guys going?
Well, I think we did all right, Nick, didn't we?
Yeah, well
okay.
You guys keep putting the bombers in there, so that's you're at least going to get one wrong.
Come on, Nick. I don't like to
swear
on the episode.
I'm looking, though, at 2025. You didn't really go out on a limb, to be honest. I'm actually a little bit disappointed.
No,
I think all of us.
Okay.
All of us.
We're a bit safe, were we?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's crack in then. Who wants to go first? I'll go through your predictions. You can tell me whether you think it was a fail or a pass.
Yeah, you go, Nick.
Yep. Look stupid first.
Yep. Well, Nick, your first prediction for 2025 was a Liberal Party win at the 2025 federal election.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
by a lot. 0-1.
By a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't even close, but it's not, mate, it's Peter Dutton's fault, no one else's, so. Yeah,
true. Yeah, and I must say, I was with you on that prediction too. I thought, anyway, we won't go into politics. It's not the kind of podcast that we are.
Yep.
We're going to get through the 25 predictions quick. Tell me about your Australian economy struggles prediction.
Spot on. GDP growth below 2%. So June quarter 2025, 0.6. June 2024, 1.8, we're just nowhere. GDP grew by 1.3% over the 24-25 fin year. So I'm back. One from two.
One from two. Very, very nice. And US economy pumps under Trump.
Yep. Yes, and I was referring to the share market, the sugar hit from Trump returning. And I think I was right. The US S&P 500 index, January 2025, 5868, November 2025, so not quite 12 months, but 6816, which is a 16% jump, and I'm now two from three.
Two from three. We might have to get a running tally on all of our predictions over time. It's been a while, but we'll take two from three. We'll take two from three.
No one's going
to
cross-check these numbers, are they?
Nah.
Nah. Just takes our word for it?
No. People on YouTube will, don't worry. Oh,
one thing you don't want to do is go and read the YouTube comments. So I read one back to Nick today and I was, it cuts deep. But anyway, keep it coming. Go and click subscribe. Get us some ad revenue. Marty, we'll pump through yours, mate.
We want more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you had unemployment.
Unemployment.
No.
Well, I got it right too, otherwise I wouldn't have brought it up. No, I've got two more.
I thought that was part of your Australian economy.
Many predictions did you do?
Yeah, actually, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carry on,
Nick.
He's got a couple of pages.
You just host the show then. Just go for it.
Well, the other two I had was the rising unemployment. So October 2025, 4.4%. Same period last year, 4%. So that one was correct. And Aussie share market underperforms. Just. So January 2025, 8201. As of November the 26th, 8606. So 4.9% up. So still a return, but you could say underperform compared to the US, compared to Marty's portfolio.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. So, I'm just about out
what's
now.
What's your strike rate?
Four out of five, mate.
Four out of five. Who let Nick make five predictions last year? I don't know.
Well,
I
didn't go into limb, so I'll.
All right, let's get to Jace. Let's get.
Do you want to do me?
Let's do you. Let's do you. All right, number one, AR/VR becomes mainstream in homes.
Yeah, well, look, I think I was a bit excited by Apple were doing a lot of advertising at the time for their big, you know, virtual reality headsets.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were pinching things and doing cool stuff, but yeah, now that I think back, I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. It was I probably coming off a couple of Christmas parties the night before of recording that episode. It was around the
Went to a Zero conference or something and got sold something.
Yeah, just all the hype and the marketing. So I'm gonna definitely fail for that one. I think
I'm not laughing though because you're probably looking at 3 years. I think you're just thinking of couple of years ahead.
I'm not putting it in this year's predictions, but you know, like what your glasses are, they're tightening them up now and making them more into the Meta glasses and the, you know, those things. So they'll appear rather than being a big VR headset.
Yeah.
It's now going to look like a normal pair of glasses. You'll have the cameras and the sound and it'll have visual displays and it'll look like a pair of glasses like what you're wearing.
Okay. So
that might be my 2027 thing. So just scrap that one for now.
Okay. So we'll be in the metaverse 2027.
I'm zero from one.
Personal AI agents, Jarvis here, becoming common.
AI agents, like, you know, I talk to Chatty all the time and, you know.
You talk to who? Chatty?
Chatty, yeah. What do you guys call her?
I don't know. ChatGPT. I'm still on the more formal Chatty.
Well, Chatty and I talk a lot. So I feel like, you know, from an AI agent or an assistant point of view, I mean, I have one, but becoming common is probably a bit of a stretch. I think I'm on the right trend, but again, adoption timing, probably a little bit too optimistic.
Zero of two.
Yeah, this is going real well for me.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Number three, public understanding and business use of blockchain surges. This is interesting because I don't think we're that far away, but I don't think we can give you a yes.
Come on. Well, you know, my argument here was that Bitcoin hit new all-time highs. So that drove attention towards blockchain. Cryptocurrency doesn't exist without blockchain and the technology there. So I think the Australian awareness is up. Institutional and retail participation grew. I would like to give myself a pass on that one, that blockchain, is that a stretch?
I'd love to ring 10 people and say, explain blockchain. if we had time.
All right, zero from three. Give me zero from three.
You're cheating yourself,
really.
Do you think
Bitcoin will sort of help the US dollar or be connected to the US dollar? Do you think that? Not yet?
No, I'm not getting into any more predictions I haven't thought through properly.
Just testing the water.
For a non-techie, you went very tech.
Very
bold
statements. I think I was just in the zone. I was just like, tech's coming, like AI's booming, let's
go. Go back to Marty's last episode. Just remember what got you where you are. Just the 20%.
Simple things that work.
Numbers.
Number four, GST reform discussions increase. Possible move to 12.5%. Where's it at?
10%.
I'll give you a pass on that.
I'm taking one from four and I don't care. I'm glad you agreed. I was just going to say. But no, I think there is a lot of noise around just overall tax reform. And there's a few things into my current predictions that we'll wait for. But there's definite noise around GST reform, as we touched on. There's an ep that we did earlier around what it would look like to have an increased GST but then lower marginal tax rates. And I know we copped a bit of crap and a few comments that people thought it was, you know, unrealistic to increase GST because the government never kind of pulls back taxes elsewhere, which historically it kind of feels that way. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be done in that space, but there is a lot more noise, more articles kind of popping up. So I'm going to have to take one and that'll be my one from four. So
well done, mate.
Oh, I don't know if I need a well done. I need to do better next time.
A bit of encourage, but
Marty, for you.
I went generic enough that I think I squeezed into a few of these, which is usually my game plan.
All right. At least three rate cuts in 2025.
That happened.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yep, Feb, May and August. That was a tick, so I was happy with that. Essendon won't win a flag.
You're not getting that. No.
We're just shit. You're not getting that.
If I get one from four, you're not getting a one for that.
But we are getting a top 10 next year.
Yeah, don't ruin 2026 predictions.
All right.
So Melbourne property surges 14 to 15%.
No, 3.3%. And I think it's, just capacity.
Do you lose one if you're that far wrong? Do we take a point off?
No.
I'm just
kidding. That guy. But that's, certainly I thought the rate cuts would drive Melbourne higher, but I think it just comes down to borrowing capacity. And from what we're seeing in 2026, which we'll go into, I think APRA's doing a few things to make sure that stays the same way. But that's a bit disappointing, actually. So
number three, because I'm not giving you the Essendon one.
Yep.
Rise in public awareness around tech and mental health.
I think I can take a tick on that, just with what's going on with kids and social media and getting them off until the age of 16. So I thought that was going to be a real problem.
Well, I think when did the age restrictions come in? That would be this year.
Yep.
Social media.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
And I think that is good because I just felt like that was, that was going to be a bigger problem down the track for everyone.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I agree. And this one, tell me, Marty, early stage prediction, future robot Olympics 2034. I mean, were you just expecting it to be spoken about or put on the calendar? Or
No. I think that's just a flat dead no.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it still, but 2034, we've got some skin in the game there in regards to that. Was just a longer term one, so I'm not taking that one.
The host nation would have been chosen by now, wouldn't you think?
In the metaverse.
You've got 9 years to.
everyone can watch it with their VR headsets, so it's going to be great.
A couple there.
Two out of four.
I think yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
So Nick gets the chalkies for the 25 well done, predictions. Nick. So we're going to throw to you then straight up for the 26 predictions. Okay. Then lead in strong. I think it's going to be our best year yet.
Okay. So number one, me.
Yeah. You're Nick.
Okay. Yeah. So the rise of the modular home. So you're starting to see a little bit of this, but the challenge at the moment is consumers or normal people that want to buy modular homes may have been able to get funding. So I think next year you'll see banks start to loosen their lending policies on modular homes, and it will become more of a thing. So when you go to build a new house, you'll have the option of going to a normal builder like a Simmons, for example, or you could bring in a modular home and you'll be able to get that funded in a reasonable way, which you can't at the moment, which is a big problem.
Especially around housing affordability, I think that's a great change.
Yep. Yeah,
big time.
And they need the banks to come to the party to make that happen. I think we'll see a share market correction in the next 12 months, and I'll give you a number on that. Correction in this case, I think 10% plus. I think the market is just waiting for a reason to do that. Mm-hmm. Share markets are at all-time highs, so looking for a 10% swing downwards in the next 12 months. So cash up and get ready to go. Mm-hmm. Marty's been ready for a while. One of the major economies bucks the trend, and we have an interest rate hike. So whether it's USA, Australia, Europe, with inflation, we had a bit of a scare here recently on our inflation rate, the price of energy, food prices. Everything's been about downward interest rates. My bold prediction is at some stage next year we'll see an increase somewhere, which will be significant.
I was hoping someone was going to go there because I felt the same. So, yeah.
Yep. You don't get a point
in
this, right?
I'm jumping on your coattails, though.
What happens if we've got three of us have got the same thing?
I'm just going to claim an extra point next year then.
You all chat GPT this or?
Chatty.
Oh, sorry, chatty?
Chatty.
No.
a major geopolitical event that will bring everyone back together. And settle tension.
Nuclear bomb.
Now that you've asked if we all chatted it, a geopolitical event is.
So, what I think could happen is a major leader is gone.
Okay.
So, Trump, Putin.
Oh, wow. So, this is like.
Maybe. I think something big, something significant. I think it's brewing.
All right. I like that
you. Xi Jinping. Well, something big that's going to.
He did go down the Elon Musk in jail. So, two years ago. You just never know. He's going to get one of these right.
I think that's a big chance next year.
He went safe last year and got four out of five. And, he's got the confidence up now to go a little bit.
I like that.
I think something big's going to happen there. It has to.
Things need to settle down. Maybe that ties in with some kind of share market correction or interest rate hike. You could just get three in one go at some point. I'm waiting for the text in 2026 where he goes three out of four, tick, done.
And my biggest and boldest prediction, drum roll, Marty Vidakovic, obviously less more time on his hands, no podcasts. He's exited our business as well, for those who don't know. He's got all these AI agents he just mentioned, so he's got a lot of time on his hands. So I'm tipping a Mr. Olympia Masters qualifying ends August 30, 2026.
Right.
I'm tipping that you qualify for Mr. Olympia 2026 in the Masters category.
Wow, that is certainly never going to happen.
All this new time on your hands.
And you may as well just take that point off now.
Dropped 18 kilos recently on a mission I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, but
maybe it's a challenge and a prediction. I don't know.
You've planted the seed here, I reckon. He's going to walk out of this going, I'm not doing it, but it's going to be there. It's
I just want to see what happens from
it's
here.
Be weighing
the
his
only
mind.
Seeds I'm planting is for broccoli at the moment. I put my calf in the veggie garden the other day, and I can't. There's going to be no Mr. Olympia. I can tell you right now.
I want to see you turning sideways to get through that door in 6 months' time when we bring him back in just to see what he's up to.
I might do that if my breasts keep getting bigger.
So that's it. That's my five.
Pretty good.
Good luck to all players.
Yeah. Okay. So we do five so we can actually like match it up. Five. Okay, cool.
Yep.
We'll bring Marty back in a year.
I'm interested to see how Marty reacts to this.
What? Which bit?
Mr. Olympia.
Mr. Olympia thing.
I'm thinking about the assassination.
Nobody said
I'm not
that.
Saying assassination.
Yeah, wow.
Didn't you?
No. A major event.
Geopolitical.
To me, that was just assassination.
FBI is going to get the link to this episode now. Do you know how AI works? Anyway, Marty, back on track. I'm going to let you go next to then determine how much I need to change my predictions to make sure I get more right than you.
I've got some big things here. Some very generic things again. I think there'll be one interest rate increase next year. Some people are even starting to talk about two in Australia for inflation. Yep. But I'm going with one. I think they'll use scare tactics. I think they're very concerned and APRA's concerned, as well as I think just in general, that the property market will explode and they don't want that to happen. So I think it's going to be curtailed.
Just on that, and not to interrupt, but did you see what APRA APRA have recently...
Six times income, was it?
...brought restrictions out on people with high DTIs, so debt-to-income ratios. So if your DTI is six times, the bank is only allowed to have 20% of their annual lending go to people with that DTI.
Wow.
So which is big.
Yeah. Wow.
So...
Is that for the major banks or
it'll just be majors?
So the non-conforming, the second-tier lenders.
Great for brokers.
Great for brokers.
That's all right.
Marty, I'm adding a prediction. Marty's back in the game next year.
I'm talking to Nick after the show. So I think one interest rate increase next year. So I think it'll be a scare tactic. It'll do what it needs to do. But people will do it tough because I think it's the government spending that's causing the core inflation to go up. Mm-hmm. So I still think people are doing it pretty tough. I've already said APRA is looking to cool the lending market, so we've already spoken about that. But I think the rise of the robot. Now, this is a big call for me because I've got a bit Jason Robinson here.
But, we saw how well that went.
But I think it's going to be a really good year for business, strangely enough, because the one thing, and this could save the US market as well, in regards to the efficiencies that this tech is bringing in. Like I'm thinking if you can get 10x productivity at one-tenth of the cost, then surely these big companies will start to create margin. So I think unemployment's going to be an issue because people aren't going to hire when they don't. They can do this through tech. So I really feel like we're going to see a changing of the guard where we're all in on this tech. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing the first robot come into our businesses in 2026. And that will be something that I think we'll see a lot more of moving forward. So, and think about it. Again, I just feel like we always think in business, high expense base. This is a way where expense base can come down and we can still fuel that front end and increase margin. It just makes so much sense as long as the tech is relevant and does what we need it to do. So I think it could be really great. I think unemployment rate will rise. Banks won't need credit managers anymore. They just won't need them. You know, in the end, it'll all be done. It'll all be done through AI. They won't need bankers. They'll go direct to market using their tech play, which will be good for brokers as well because we'll still maintain relationships. And think about it, Nick, no payroll tax. Jace, no payroll tax. Can they payroll tax robots?
Surely not. See, if the government's listening, you're putting ideas in their mind already that, you know, where there's... Like the EV road charges. Like, you know, if they said, if you don't want to pay fuel excise, you have an EV, and now all of a sudden they weren't collecting tax on EV. So
you know what?
Don't give them ideas on robot taxes.
No, it's a really good point, and you might know this better than I do, but they must be thinking about productivity.
Yeah.
And it's not just payroll tax, it's PAYG tax. Mm-hmm. So if people are doing far more in business with less people or humans or workers, they'd definitely be thinking about that. when they look, they're projecting out numbers, budgets.
I'll get more tax on profitability. I'm sure they'll leave us alone for a bit. Jace, can you see into that, please?
Yes.
Look, I really think the more I'm looking into it, the more I'm reading on it, I think this is going to be a huge transformative year. I think AI has the IQ now of 150, mm-hmm. yeah, and you go, and in another 12 months it's going to be over 200. So you've got now technology that's actually going to have more knowledge than a doctor, than a lawyer. It's going to have more precise, you know, surgery capabilities than what a doctor will have. Like even in regards to misdiagnosis, you know, now AI is coming in and like 40% of the time, you know, they're finding this second opinion on AI, even though it's not perfect yet, is actually exposing a lot of inefficiencies as well. So you go, you look at Waymo with Google with the, you know,
driverless cars.
Driverless cars. Mm. Like I go, you know, boring, but... Again, 40% less accidents already. So you go...
It's human error that causes the accidents.
We are the problem. We are the problem. So we need to be able to utilise this technology to effect. But I feel like I'm starting to get a real understanding that strategic thinking and utilising these technologies in the way we can think up ideas to, you know, better the world, better businesses, better people's lives... is going to be very, very relevant because you're going to have someone in your office that's going to be working 24/7, higher productivity, you're going to be paying the robot maybe, you know, 10 grand a year to have them. And I think, it might be a few years out, but I can see where it's heading. And in one way it's scary, in another way it's exciting. I think school will change. I honestly believe... that there's a school in the US called Alpha Schools already where the kids do 2 hours of legitimate technical work on their learning and then they're in the top 1% of everyone that's graded in the school system in America. And in the afternoon they're doing project work. So they're either working on a business, working on a project of interest. So it's all changing dramatically. So I think this will be the year of transformation and I just, it's going to be weird seeing someone taking notes that's a robot in the office. But anyway, I think it will happen. And I think even politics may change. Instead of it being Liberal and Labor, I think there'll be a humanist party and a futurist party. I think there'll be people probably in my demographic that will be holding on to the past that will want, you know, people engagement at the core, and then there'll be, you know, forward-thinking people that want to take everything to the next level as well. So I think we'll start to see a shift in how even politics are run. So that's it's a lot in one hit, but I go, they're the sort of things I've been thinking of. And I listen to a few podcasts and read a few books on it and I'm going, oh, wow, you know, you're going to have robots doing surgery at a much better capacity and level, and they're not going to be tired. Mm. Yeah, they're going to do the right job every time. Now, they're not going to fully transition till it's where it needs to be, but already we're getting evidence that it's a lot better than what we can do. So how do you think about that being superseded in every way, shape or form? How do we utilise this to advantage? And that's where our heads are going to go, which is really unusual for us to think.
I don't mind the prediction, Marty. I think robots, what we're seeing in the accounting world, even with the robots that, you know, can operate on a computer, and, you know, we did a course with a lady who runs a business down in Mornington. She got robots all running or working in her accounting firm, and instead of going, holding all that tech and what she's done in, she's then run a training course so all these other accounting firms can go and learn how she did it. And she got a guy over from Singapore, Daryl from Skybots, absolute guru. And, you know, they're now training more accounting firms to be able to use robots to do the things that, you know, again, you can pay a human to sit there and click these buttons over and over again to do a BAS or an IAS or reconcile a file. But if a robot can do it, as you said, 24 hours a day, you can run the computers to go through a list of files, pull out all the info you need, which is the same every month, every quarter.
It's all repeatable.
Frees up the human to do the human stuff that's of high value, the advisory, the phone call to check in and see if a client's doing okay. You know, looking into the numbers, hey, your numbers are 5% down, you know, quarter on quarter. Is something going on? Do you need a hand? Can we refer you on to someone for some cash flow help or whatever it is? But it's exciting. The robot idea, to what we do with that extra time that we get from using that is where
I think the thing people aren't anticipating at the moment, it's very literal in regards to what it does, but it's going to become dynamic and assumptive. And, you know, you look at banks, they're not going to need half the people that are in there. It's it really is a changing of the guard. So we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
So that's my big prediction for next year.
Any others?
That's about it. Essendon's still going to be crap. Yep. No, that's it. I had the interest rate, core inflation due to government spending, and APRA is cooling the lending market.
No chart toppers? You want that gone?
Well, look, I think the other thing that will happen is I wasn't going to put this in, but I feel like
I just don't know how many you had. Are you going for 7 from 7 or
so? Well, I think even music, the music we listen to will be AI produced. So, and how do we feel about that as a, you know, as creative people out there producing music? And it's already happening, but we're going to have chart toppers that never go through a human hand or a human mind. And I think that's the other thing we're going to start to see in the top 10. Mm-hmm. We're going to have total AI songs actually getting trending and doing very, very well. I don't know how I feel about that, but I feel like that is absolutely so my tip is a number one hit that never touches a human hands.
In the next 12 months.
In the next 12 months.
Oof. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I won't be here next year, so it doesn't matter.
We'll drag you back in for a prediction special. We'll have you back. Sure. Or actually my fifth prediction then, since I didn't have a fifth one, is we're going to make an AI Marty who will do an episode, a full numbers game episode with Jason Nick. And our listeners won't know the difference that it wasn't really Marty that came back to do the...
Is it going to be the Mr. Olympia robot?
It could well
now
be.
Now we're talking. Actually, yeah, that could work. Yeah,
it would be very easy to do.
I love seeing you play out your fantasies.
Just we'll take a picture of him before he leaves and it's almost there. So, all right, my predictions. Definitely going to try and nail a few of these. So,
come on.
July 2026 Payday Super comes in. I'm saying that Payday Super becomes the biggest compliance nightmare of 2026 for government and small business people in business. So essentially for those listening, every time you get paid, if you're an employee or a business owner, every time you get paid or you pay an employee, superannuation needs to be remitted at the same time as the wage gets paid. Now, of course, it makes sense. That's the employee's money. I have no problem with that. It's just that historically, year on year, for as long as I've been doing this, about $2 billion a year doesn't hit the super fund because it doesn't get paid. Businesses go into liquidation, things don't work out. But what's going to end up happening, most business owners underestimate the cash flow pressure that this is going to cause. Now, while we're still 6 or so months out from this happening, I don't think there's been enough noise about it. I don't think the government promotes it enough. And furthermore, there is between 200 and 250,000 small business owners using the ATO clearinghouse. This is being shut down. So between now and the 1st of July 26, not only do 200,000 business owners need to find a new software, a new payroll provider, change their entire systems, they've then also got to make sure their cash flow is ready to rock and roll for weekly or fortnightly payments, if that's their pay cycles, rather than building up that cash buffer and remitting it at the end of the quarter. Yeah, wow. So I think adding to that as well, What ends up happening is when you miss your superannuation payment on time at the end of a quarter, usually you then have to prepare it's called an SGC statement, super guarantee charge. You have to list all your employees, how much super they should have been paid, whether you made the payment or not. You get an admin charge, an interest charge. It's on an Excel spreadsheet. It gets uploaded to the ATO portal. It's manual and annoying, and then you got to wait for the ATO to process it. They're in the works at the moment of redeveloping this so that it's not going to be that process. But if every week you've got 7 days to get the money into super from payroll. The clearinghouses can sometimes take 12 days depending on the timing of money. You got Easter holidays, sometimes the banks slow things down. It's just going to be a nightmare. I was going to say something else. But yeah, so Payday Super, absolute nightmare. We'll be sitting here a year from now saying what an absolute joke the last couple of months have been for trying to resolve how to get this to work properly and not have these issues blow up.
So have they not, which I assume they haven't because they don't do this, do they not have a process? So if you're saying Payday Super has to be paid the same day, then doesn't the government have a solution for how that can then happen?
Yeah, so essentially the government now means all the digital service providers, so I think Xero, MYOB, QuickBooks, whatever else, they have to build the technology now that it's been legislated, that it is actually coming and going to happen.
Right.
They're all building the tech in the background so that when you click pay now on Xero and post the pay slips, there'll also be a pay super now button.
Yeah.
What if you don't do it though? It's very, very simple to miss an extra step if you're not in the habit and routine of it. If you're used to putting it in every quarter, the weekly or fortnightly, and now is also the time. I mean, you know, the warning here is that if you are paying weekly and that seems like it's going to be a big impact, maybe it's time to look to fortnightly or monthly pay cycles for your business if that's something you can swing between now and then. You know, having a monthly pay and then 7 days for the super to, you know, leave the bank account and hit might be better depending on, you know, analyze your business, talk to your accountant or your advisor. But that is one of my predictions. Again, don't know if it's playing it safe, but
I feel like there'll be a lot of business overdrafts coming up in there.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Number two, AI bookkeeping becomes standard operating procedure. And essentially, like from my point of view, what's happening there is people won't have a choice. Like AI is going to be unleashed in your accounting system. Actually, Nick, I don't know if you've logged into Xero lately, but have you seen that your Xero now has the ability to AI bookkeep it for you, like in the background?
No, I haven't noticed that, but I'm not really looking for it.
Yeah, cool. Next time you log in, if you go to your bank rec screen, there'll be a banner across the top that says turn on auto rec, and essentially it'll let AI start to reconcile things for you. If you've got a regular thing that goes to Telstra and it knows it's a telephone bill, it's gone. So, you know,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it's one less thing for a bookkeeper to do. In a sense, they can then, what their job now will be to review the accuracy. Yeah. Did AI get it right? And then hopefully spend more time doing value added things.
Yeah.
The thing is here, you know, what the noise is, you know, whether people like it or not, it's going to be there, you know. And from now, I don't know if there is actually going to be an opt out button. Like, it's just going to be part of the software and part of the technology. So, compliance will get faster. Hopefully that means advisory expands. People should have more time to do the advisory and the value-added things. Mm-hmm. But there's also going to be the ones that don't adapt. They get slower and more expensive. So there's going to be a lot of market movement around that as well. So AI bookkeeping is just there.
Yeah.
This one I'm claiming this year. This is number three. Bombers will make the finals due to the top 10 expansion of the AFL final system.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We will... If I'm going to like really go out on a limb here, we probably finish 9th or 10th and win. Like just to really like, you know, be the first.
Is it a legitimate final though?
Well, that then becomes the argument that Bombers still couldn't make the top 8 and win a final. But I'm either way, Bombers,
doesn't matter, does it?
Fun it's prediction final. For me. Bombers will win a final for the first time in 20 something years.
2004.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember I was there against Melbourne.
I unfollowed the Twitter page or the X page that counts the days since Essendon won a final. I just couldn't do it to myself, so I've unfollowed
Surely with AI, I could win something. Gosh. Get the robots out there.
Oh, God. the next one, I mean, I've gone real heavy accountant here. I don't know. I've gone away from AI and tech to just staying in my lane. I'm going to – I'm risking getting it wrong, but you guys both went with an interest rate rise. I'm going to go no rise then, just flat.
Okay.
So just, I mean, it just means I'm guaranteed to get one on you guys or not. So that's my fourth.
Ballsy
and then
move,
fifth
mate.
Then, so there's a five. This one.
Wow.
I can't believe you went that way.
Oh, no. I didn't want to, but I just couldn't do the same as you guys. Otherwise, it's just, you know.
I almost can't wait to 12 months time.
You're not invited back. The last one's an ATO prediction around, I'm calling it after the fact audits. There's no longer the ATO taking 18 months to audit or review and then go back that far. Essentially now with the AI-driven warning systems inside the ATO, the expanded ability that they have behind the scenes is just like, again, like we know the pace of AI, but the amount of data we talked about, the 600 million data points that gets fed to the ATO, the increasing capability just means that I'm going to kind of get this right, but essentially the old world was where you'd lodge and then 18 months later, maybe something gets flagged and they pick it up. The new world is you essentially get a live risk score, which triggers like the flags at the ATO's end to then go after you in real time. So this expanded use of AI at the ATO's end is essentially gone are the days of you had messy books and you had to lodge your BAS, so you'd put it through and go, oh, we'll fix that up later. The way all the like GST, the bank feeds, the pay-as-you-go withholding, the single-touch payroll, the superannuation, all of that data now is behind the scenes available to be kind of seen and matched. So if you lodge a BAS and it doesn't line up to the way everything should be based on the figures that are received, you're getting flags triggering straight away that something's not right in your books. So right now, messy books is going to be one of the biggest things. And I know I've talked about AI bookkeeping. That is a concern too, that if you then just trust AI to do it and it gets things wrong, you're putting yourself into this AI, my ATO prediction of higher audit activity and a bigger real-time risk of getting things wrong in your books. No more "she'll be right, we'll clean it up later." I think the focus there needs to be focus, you know, get the things right, be diligent with your numbers, get your books right, do the reviews. If not, you're going to be part of my ATO prediction that the audit activity and the auto reviews and the robo mail basically from the ATO's end saying, "Are you sure you didn't get this wrong? I'm giving you the opportunity to fix it." It'll be automated mail that comes out and just goes, "Hey, we think something's not lining up here, but we're going to let you figure out what it was." And it's insane. It's already happening. We're getting, you know, letters that are going, "We think something's missing off this return." Wow. You know, so you know, watch out. The data in the machine, if it looks weird, they'll be coming for you. And I think in what we've seen as well, just to elaborate on that of why this starts to heat up, the ATO, Chris Jordan, I think his name was, he was the ATO commissioner a few years ago. He came to ZeroCon and presented saying by 2030, the ambition of the ATO for Australia is that we're in a world where tax just happens. So, you know, you raise a $11,000 bill for a month of consulting. When that gets paid, the $1,000 GST is auto gone. Like, yep. You don't get it.
Yeah.
When you pay wages to someone and the pay as you go withholding was $2,000, it's gone. Tax just happens. So then even on accounting side, by 2030, I don't have to do your IAS or your BAS. It's gone.
So how do I get paid back when I have an expense?
That's one of those questions. You know, are they going to credit you back the expense in real time as well when you go and spend $550 on something?
Well, they'd have $50 to bucks? If they're doing it the other way.
Correct.
But then so again. Then,
and there are all those things where, you know, you talked about robots and AI and those things, but this is the world that we're going towards where that becomes a reality because of the ability to access data in real time. They then want their cash in real time because the GST isn't ours, the pay as you go withholding is not ours, the super is not ours, and payday super is the start of that. So they, you know, we'll see. We'll watch this space and see what happens a year from now. But I think some different angles from previous years.
Rage against the machine.
Yeah, 100%. Marty, I guess this is essentially goodbye.
This is it.
This is it. Anything that you're excited for next year? I mean, apart from the bold predictions, what's on the cards for 2026?
I think for me, it's just redefining myself in many ways. Like, I've been in business for so long and, you know, getting some mentorship myself just to reinvigorate some of the youthful excitement that I carried and work out what that looks like for the next 50 years. So it's been really good. I've tried to take the pressure off myself because my brain just naturally wants to get into something I know and get going because it's just – but then, you know, I would have stayed at Innovate if I want to do that, right? So it's so for me to get some time over Christmas, again, redefine what it looks like. It might be supporting Charlie in a business. That would awesome. Be amazing. I get to support so many other people. And we've got an idea around that I think would be good that he's connected to and would be a lot of fun. So that might be one thing. I think coaching, again, probably going to the Essendon Games and hoping we get into the top 10 would be good. But, yeah, I haven't really defined it yet, and that's very unusual for me. But I'm going to give myself the Christmas break. I've got about 6 weeks off now, which is tremendous. I've never had that, I don't think, in 35 years. So I'm really looking forward to that starting tonight. And then you just never know where I'll pop up, Jase. You just never know because I don't know.
Nick?
What was the question? What's on the card for next year?
Yeah, it's the wrap-up app. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
I went into a huge waffle.
Yeah, no, that's good. Look, for us, I think, I'll talk business first, but, yeah, we're in a really good place at the moment. Where we are, you know, I guess, poised to really benefit from AI. So I think we'll just double down on what we're doing, really. Well, I think back to that 20% keep bringing up. We know what we're doing is working, so we'll just try and leverage that and almost consolidate a little bit. We've had a lot of things happen in 2025. We've just gone into Adelaide in more recent times. So I think next year will be consolidating and making sure that we really get what we deserve out of the foundations that we've laid. But, you know, something will come up for sure that we end up tackling. And then personally, yeah, I'm not sure, just trying to work life out, trying to be a dad and balance that in business, and got to make a decent decision around a house. So probably buy a family home next year. That's probably the biggest thing I've got to do personally. And then I think that'll be enough. Just apart from that, just keep an eye on these predictions and see how things are going. What about yourself, mate?
Mate, bit the same. And look, at risk of sounding like it's just following the same thing. Yeah, doing more with less. I think, you know, the robots, the AI, the automation. We're a team of 27, looking to kind of bring on a senior bookkeeper, maybe a practice manager, but kind of round out just those final parts of the puzzle and then double down on AI and robots, expanding our capacity, but keeping the same quality and the same human approach that we have, which is, you know, our edge or our... Yeah. You know, secret sauce that makes us a little bit different from others out there, and how we approach it and how we communicate. So, and essentially, I mean, 20% of our clients make up 80% of our revenue, that old Pareto principle. So just finding a way to focus on that and really double down on providing love and care and the service that they need. So it's kind of the business front. And personal, might copy you as well. Buy a house for Case and I to live in. That'll be a good one to add. And and then run the New York Marathon. So that'll be 5 out of 7 of the global majors if I can get to the New York Marathon next year.
Wow. My current house will be for sale.
Done.
Sold.
Let's do it.
There you go.
Just save some agent comms. Happy days.
Sorry, prop app. Nah, thank you guys. It's been great. 25 predictions done, 26 now in the tank and ready to go. Looking forward to next year with you, Nick. Marty, we'll miss you. We love you. We'll talk about you all the time, and I'm sure you'll be back. Thank you for everything. And until next time,
keep listening to The Numbers Game. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure you guys are too. And it's been a great honor and privilege to be with both you two good fellas. And again, Tommy Jacket, too, our producer, who's been there from day one, that makes us sound good and keeps us all in a line. So he's a gun if you ever think you're doing a podcast and you got lots of money. Talk to Tommy, because he only deals with the best, so, and he deserves it. But thank you as an audience. It's been a pleasure being in your ears over the last 5 years, and I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point again. So until next time, stay happy, keep building. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.